friend Jeff Passan is a national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports. He's also co-host of the Yahoo Sports MLB podcast, along with Tim Brown and Mike Oz. He's written a couple of recent columns that got our attention. One in particular, the case for the Toronto Blue Jays to call up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. right now. And we're going to bring Jeff Passan on along with myself and Corey Hirsch. And Jeff, I've said that I think Vladdy Jr. will be up at some point this year. There are people in the organization who claim it's not that straightforward. I think it should be, but man, you think he should be up now, don't you?
I do. I think when a guy is ready, he is ready. And if you want to be an organization that is known for trying to win at all times, at all costs, in a division where it is imperative to have that mindset, then calling up your best players when they are ready physically to be Major League Baseball players is what you should do. All the other stuff that can be adjusted to, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. understands what it takes to be a Major League player though, because his father was, because he grew up around the game. And the fact that the physical tools are there right now for him to be successful, and more successful, I think, than the alternatives for the Blue Jays, makes him the right choice right now.
Should point out, by the way, that if he were to come up right now, he would be his service clock would start. He'd be younger than Adrian Beltre, Andrew Jones, Ken Griffey Jr., and Bryce Harper were when they came up. Same with Pudge Rodriguez or Mike Trout. Alex Rodriguez, of course, was 18 years, 346 days old, and he came up. Vlad's 19 years, 46 days. And as you point out, I mean, yes, you do risk losing him to free agency in his prime. And as you point out, I mean, that's something front offices talk about all the time, something they worry about all the time. And, you know, and further to your point, Jeff, I was intrigued because we got to spend a little bit of time around the Phillies in Clearwater at spring training, and I love what they did with Scott Kingery. And I'm not convinced that isn't the way forward for organizations. I mean, Jeff, we keep saying the game's getting younger, and we know where the game is going. Power, strikeouts, we know all that. So if the game's going younger and you've got a guy who's an accomplished hitter, yeah, put him up, play him right now.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason, though, that the Phillies played Scott Kingery is because Scott Kingery signed a ridiculously team-friendly deal.
Okay.
And I would not advocate for other players to take similar such deals. Vlad Guerrero, though, you have to understand that projecting 6+ years out is just it's a ridiculous conceit. The idea that we have any clue who's going to be in the organization at that point, who's going to be running the organization at that point, any of these factors, we just don't. And so while I understand the tendency is to say the earlier we bring him up, the earlier we lose him, I think there's almost something self-defeating about that. Shouldn't you say the earlier we bring him up, the likelier we are to be good right now? Mm. And if it doesn't work out, we can send him back down for more seasoning and stop the service clock. I mean, that to me just seems like an absolute no-brainer. And I think that what he's doing down at AA, which is the proving ground for minor league players, even more than AAA, shows that he is ready. I mean, every day I check Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s page on MILB.com, and every day it's like he's getting better. And, you know, he's up to .388 now. He's slugging .600. And, oh, by the way, he's just turned 19 years old. He's ready. Scouts tell me he's ready. People in the organization believe he's ready, even though they don't want to bring him up right now. It's time.
Yeah, well, see, and being a hockey guy, sometimes it's about development and getting them in the lineup. If the Jays bring him in, can they get him in the lineup every night? Is that something that's possible? And who comes out?
Totally reasonable question. I think that the answer is yes. And the way that they do that, they have to swallow quite a bit of money from Kendrys Morales for the rest of the year and possibly even next year. Mm-hmm. And they have to carry a guy, if they keep Morales in there, who is really limited to designated hitter. And in this era of 13 pitcher staffs, it's pretty difficult to have a bench guy who's a DH. That being said, if you play Vladimir Guerrero 4 or 5 days a week as designated hitter and give Josh Donaldson a day or two a week off at third base, I think it would behoove Donaldson, and I think it would behoove Guerrero, and more than anything, I think it would behoove the Jays.
Interesting question about playing, because I'm with you. I think you have to be open to these things, and I'm not entirely certain. You know, some of the stuff I've heard from Ross Atkins when he's just chatting, I think he might be a little more open to things than other people think. But this also raises the question, with a guy like Vladdy Jr., look, when he's in the majors, Jeff, he's going to be hitting in the middle of the order. He's going to be hitting fourth, fifth, maybe third, fourth, fifth. Do you stick him in there right away and say, you know what, run with it, kid? Maybe put him behind Donaldson or put him behind Pilar, who's hot right now. Would you stick him in the middle of the order right away and say, here you go?
You know, I don't know if that's necessary. I almost think it can be an Ohtani-like situation where you start him off hitting seventh or eighth, and if he earns the 2, 3, 4, 5 spot in the lineup, then you give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is, it's almost a trial by fire. You know, you put him in there and you say, hey, kid, you have proven yourself everywhere you have gone. Prove yourself here against the best in the world, and you'll never see another day in the minor leagues. And I don't subscribe to the theory that if somebody comes up and struggles, that's necessarily bad for him or for his development.
Mm-hmm.
I think we look at Mike Trout and what happened with him. A lot of people forget Mike Trout came up for a couple months at the end of the 2011, I believe, season. And he had about 125 plate appearances, and he OPS'd under 700. And this was a guy who had destroyed the minor leagues over the course of the previous 2 years. He was 19
right.
years old at the time, struggled a little bit. And I don't think anybody saw that as a, hey, this kid's not going to come back and make it. He came back the next year and probably should have won the Most Valuable Player award in his rookie season at 20 years old.
Yeah, he had 30 strikeouts in 123 at-bats, and I don't remember people running around worrying about that.
Yeah, and look, I very much acknowledge that bringing up somebody as young as Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is not guaranteed to work out. It's just not. But I think it's also the right play here nonetheless, because I'm more on the side of it will work out, and it will work out better than having Kendrys Morales in the lineup every day. And granted, the day I wrote this, Kendrys Morales, of course, goes out and goes 3 for 3 with 2 home runs. So what the hell do I know?
Right. Well, yeah, but that ain't going to happen every day. Trust me.
not only that, I assume people are just not going to throw him pipe shot fastballs every day either. So
right.
There's that as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see him in the lineup. What do you think? What makes him so good? What do you think makes him? Does he project to be a star in this league?
I think he, you know, it's funny because on the podcast earlier this week, we were talking about Ronald Acuna's Hall of Fame chances, which is an absurd thing to be talking about a week into a 20-year-old's career, right? But if you look at the guys who generally make the major leagues at 19 or 20 years old, there are certainly some exceptions there. You know, there are the Ruben Tejadas, there are the Wilson Bedemites, there are guys of that ilk who just eventually don't turn into a whole lot. But typically, when a guy is so good that he forces a club's hand to bring him up at 19 or 20 years old, you start thinking that early, could this potentially be a Hall of Famer? I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr., if he's not a star, I will be shocked. I think that the bat-to-ball ability is elite. I think that the power is elite. I think that the swing is clean and quick. I think everything is in place there for him to be, within the next 5 years, one of the three best hitters in baseball. And that's saying a lot, because there are a lot of good hitters right now.
Jeff, we just got a few minutes left, but I also wanted to touch on a piece you wrote about the whole Tyler Bauer, Lance McCullers back and forth. You know, you've made a point I've heard other people make, including guys who are currently pitching in the majors. Why don't we let pitchers load up the ball? Why don't we make it legal?
It's, you know, I think loading up the ball is, I think the words you're saying there are a little loaded, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't even see it. I don't even see it as loading up the ball. I see it as a grip enhancement. And granted, the grip enhancement does help with the spin rate on a baseball. There's no question about it that you get a higher spin rate when you use something. But the truth is, guys use something already. I would estimate that 90%+ of pitchers out there use something, whether it's licking their fingers when they have gum in their mouth and, you know, getting that little sugary, sticky thing on the ball, to the concoction that I wrote about in this story where a guy would take, you know, firm grip and a knob of pine tar and a dash of Coca-Cola and melt it down into like this special paste that he would use to get on the ball. And everybody is using something. So rather than go through the rigmarole of trying to figure out who's using something and who's being too obvious about it, just come to a conclusion with the players about what the most popular and well-received item is and put it on every mound and be done with it. Then if you're caught, using anything, then all of a sudden there's rationale and reason to go out and suspend a guy for it. But right now, to suspend someone for something when they're doing the same thing others are, it just seems inconsistent and unfortunate. And, I think Trevor Bauer's brought up a really good point, because this is a guy who, granted, for completely absurd reasons, needed glue on his finger in the 2016 postseason, if you remember when he cut his finger on a drone, and they had to take him out of he wasn't allowed to use something to close up that wound right there. And yet guys, every day they're going out there with crap on their hand and throwing a baseball. It just seems to be an inconsistent application of this rule.
Well, I wrote a piece a while ago, actually a couple of years ago, about the history of the rosin bag. And, at one point, the one league wouldn't allow it, the other league would allow it. And, baseball almost ground to a halt because the discussion about the rosin bag, and eventually common sense prevailed.
And you recall a few years ago what the impetus for, I imagine the impetus for that story was the Clay Buchholz incident?
Yep.
Or was that, as much. Because I think it was a Jays broadcast where they said he's loading up the ball.
Absolutely.
And that was good times. Clay Buchholz just got released, by the way. I was told by a scout that he doesn't look very good. So maybe he needs to load the ball up with something better.
Mr. Passan, we're going to let you scoot. Grady to do this as always. Really enjoying the podcast as well. Say hi to Tim and Mike for me.
I will do that. Thanks for having me, boys.